stuff, and then it got.
Today's October, what, 12th? And we are in Sudbury. And why don't we just start by you telling us your name and where you were born?
My name is Tony Cooper. I was born in Dublin, Ireland, in 1945. I actually grew up mostly in England and went to school in England, so I'm more, even though I have an Irish passport, I grew up in England. I'm more English than Irish.
And were your parents English or Irish?
All our family is Irish. Oh. We're all from Dublin.
Okay. Wow. So, but your accent, you don't seem to have.
Well, I've been here since 1969, and I'm a citizen now. Yeah. So, I have two passports.
Dual citizen.
That's right.
That's great. And tell us what you do for a living.
I'm a saddler. I make English saddles, and I specialize specifically in fitting them to horses. I contour the bottom of the English saddle to fit the horse's shape, make the horse comfortable, put the rider in the best position, and that's basically what I do.
And it seems like not a very common trade, so tell us how did you get into this trade?
Well, when I came to the States, I was working for my uncle in New York in the restaurant business, and then I got into leatherwork. It was that whole era where people were doing crafts and stuff, and I was a hippie, so I was doing leather craft. And I did that. I had my own business for about 15 years or so, and I'd always wanted to do saddlery, so I went home one time to England and found a place where I could study saddlery, which I did. Then I came back here and knocked on barn doors. So.
Was it an apprenticeship? Or?
There is actually a college in London called Cordwainers College. Cordwainers are people who make shoes, so they basically do shoemaking and leather goods there. But they had a small course in rural saddlery, which is the one that I took.
Oh, great. So they're English saddles?
Yes.
That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the transition from the leather work to the saddlery,
I'm working in the same medium, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something I'd wanted to do. And I had actually done, been around some horses and done some saddlery work before I actually did my training. So I was... It wasn't really that much of a change. I just had to learn some different things.
Can you describe the basic steps involved in making an English saddle, or does it take like all day?
I was going to say, you got a couple of years.
All right, a bad question.
Well, basically, there's a framework inside the saddle, which is a wooden framework called a tree, and they build. Saddlers build the saddle around that framework. You need this framework to hold the saddle steady and to support the rider. If you just have leather, you might as well be riding bareback. So what the saddle does is it supports you a little more and also brings you off the horse's body somewhat so that you're not sort of, the pressure on the horse is more even.
Like a shock absorber?
Sort? It's kind of, yeah, it just, if you're sitting, then your cheeks are the only thing that are sitting into the horse. When you put a saddle on, it distributes your weight over a greater area, so the horse is more comfortable. So that's basically what a saddle does.
Oh,
it distributes the weight, so, you know, the horse doesn't get sore in one part or another.
Right.
And it gives support to the rider so they can sit properly. Because when you're on a horse, you're being bounced up and down if you're riding bareback. And,
So that the whole fitting process is just as much an art as making a saddle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's really what I do all the time now. I just fit saddles to horses because there's a great need for it. In England, there are saddlers in every other town. So there are a lot of people going out and fitting saddles to horses. Over here, there's an abundance of saddle pads which try to accommodate the fit of the saddle for the horses, but... it's a problem because if the saddle isn't fitting the horse in the first place, when you put pads on, you can make it worse. Sometimes it works fine, but generally it's not a good thing. That's why there's a lot of pads out here.
I wonder why
that
was.
A lot of different pads.
Yeah.
It's because there's no one out there who knows how to fix them, you know, fix the saddles.
Yeah. So who would your clients be? Who are your customers?
Everybody. I mean, there you wouldn't believe how many people have horses in their backyard in New England. It's a huge area, you know, between here and New York. It's enormous. Everyone's got horses. I mean, even you ride, so.
Yeah, I'm riding, but I don't have a horse. But well, yes, and I can rent them. Can you rent them?
Yeah. Quite often, barns will have horses that they will lease out. You know, if someone has a horse, they're not riding as much, and they'll half lease to you or something, so you can ride the horse with them, and that way you don't bear the cost of all the vet bills and stuff like
right.
that, which is, you know, instead of going each time and getting on a different horse.
Exactly. Yeah.
So some barns will do that. So you just need to call around and see.
Okay, because I had a lot of trouble finding a place even just to take lessons. It was not that easy to find.
Yeah.
You also mentioned repairing saddles.
Yeah, obviously, you know, seeing as I know how to make a saddle from scratch, I do repair saddles and refurbish them. People come to me with saddles that they've had for 15 or 20 years that they can't give up. So I rebuild them and make them new again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the other services that I offer. And also, I restore side saddles, which is, there's nobody around who does that. My teacher in England was a side saddle person who worked for Champion and Wilton, which is one of the, there were three manufacturers in England who made side saddles, and that was one of the last ones that was still around. So he was an apprentice with them and went through their whole thing and then was the foreman. So I did my regular saddlery training with him at Cordwainers, and then he came over here, he taught me about side saddles, and we did a lot of side saddle work together. So, you know, I picked his brain. I made sure that I got all the information I could get from him.
What was his name?
His name is Michael Dickens.
Michael Dickens, okay. Tell us more about what a side saddle is.
A side saddle is one over there, and that's traditionally the way women would ride because it's unladylike for women to straddle a horse. It's not correct. So you would sit sideways on the horse with there are a couple of supports called heads, and there's a fixed head and a leaping head that you put your legs around and support yourself so you can sit sideways on the horse. And it's very secure, and people who ride side saddle really like it. They really like it, and they jump, and they do competition and hunt, everything.
Really?
Yes.
I can't imagine how you could balance.
Well, it's kind of like sitting like this. You just like this, and you've got your leg over like that.
Cross.
That you just like that. So if you imagine yourself sitting on the edge of a chair, that's exactly what it is. And if you feel comfortable like this, I can put you on the horse and make it feel like that.
Okay.
So that's the scoop. It's not.
But you can't post, and you can't.
Yeah, you can do everything.
All right. So people actually do that here?
Yeah, there are quite a few people who ride side saddle.
Hmm.
There's a woman in New Hampshire, Rhonda Watts, who's, I do stuff for her all the time. And she, you know, she has astride saddles, but she doesn't ride them much. She just rides side saddle.
Huh.
And a lot of people hunt still in side saddle.
Are there hunts around here?
Yeah, there's the Neshoba Valley Hunt. There's one out of Concord. What's the Concord one called? Can't remember that.
Okay.
Anyways, my wife was part of that. Don't remember. Huh. There are three or four hunts, and then there are some in New Hampshire and Vermont, obviously. Right. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
There used to be more, but some of them, you know, have closed up because the land, there's no access on the land anymore. It's getting more difficult.
That's right, yeah. What would you say are the most challenging aspects of making saddles?
Well, you know, If you can do it, it's not that challenging, really. I mean, you have to have a knack for, you know, making things. You have to be that kind of person. And I think, you know, someone with an ability to make things and construct things and pull things apart and put them back together can probably learn to make a saddle. It's just that there's no one around who does it in the States. And, you know, it would be hard to learn here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've done it, I mean, there are some things that are more difficult. Making the bottom part of the saddle has always been more difficult for me. I mean, obviously, I can do it, but, you know, that's a more difficult part.
The tree, the inner part, or you just mean the bottom?
The bottom part that actually has the
padding.
It's kind of like the cushioning that goes between the saddle and you and the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's That's right. It's probably one of the more difficult parts to make. Putting a seat on and stuff like that is pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. And what is that padded with? What material?
Well, usually it's wool. This actually has air bladders in it. It's like the Nike pump for saddles. And this has come out, actually, this has been out for 6 or 8 years. I've been putting it in saddles for that long. And when I started doing it, a woman who's a side saddle person that sent me a copy of a patent that was applied for in 1895 for side saddle bladders. So people who think that air is a new thing, got it all wrong, because people have been thinking about this stuff for years and years, and finally someone came out with a system that actually works. People have tried it and didn't work, and they, disappeared for a while.
Yeah, because I think it would lose air.
Well, it does. It's got little sealy things here, just little plugs that go in. It does seep, very, very minutely, and so you just have to take care of it the way you would anything that has air in. To keep an eye on it.
Tires.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. But the horses love that.
Oh, it must feel good to them.
It's really true. It's comparable to an old backpack that has tiny little straps on to the new ones that are wide with a big foam thing on, and some of them have a little air in there. That's the difference. You suddenly can carry your 90 pounds down up the mountain without any problem.
Right. And what you said earlier about distributing the weight.
It's much better, and it molds with the horse is moving. So there's never a point when the saddle is uncomfortable for the horse, where pressure is here or there. It's always even. So that it's a real improvement.
Do you ride yourself?
I don't ride. I know which way to face when I'm up on a horse, but that's the limit of my skill. I got on my wife's horse, and I'm thinking, whoa, it's a long way down. So, I can go around the ring, but, my skills are somewhat limited. I suppose I should get that.
Okay.
Hello? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm being interviewed. Yeah, it's good. Okay, so things are all right there? Okay, sweetie. All right. Okay. Bye. Okay. There we go.
What do you think is the most satisfying or rewarding thing about doing this work?
The thing that I like about it most is that the integrity of saddlery is always the same. It hasn't changed in years, and so I'm still doing the same stuff that people did 200-300 years ago in making a saddle. And it'll always be that way, because there are certain things within the saddle making process that will always be the same. You can't do them with a machine. You can produce some of the things with a machine and do machine stitching, but there's still a lot of handwork that you have to do. And there'll always be saddlers, maybe not many of them, but there will be saddlers. And that's what I like. It has its own integrity, and it's something that I've always enjoyed being part of, that I'm carrying on the tradition. So,
Do you think it would be possible to find an apprentice?
Well, I actually have a person that I've had working with me for a couple of years and so. So he's been learning the basics, but obviously, it's hard to have enough time and money to keep them on all the time, and that's the real problem. But yeah, there are people that I actually did have when I started saddlery, some 20 years ago. I had a guy call me every day for a week, wanted me to train him, and I said, I can't, I just can't do it, I had just come back from England. I was just starting up, and I had enough business, but it was I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. What is the cost of if you're starting from scratch and you're making a custom saddle, what would that cost?
If someone's buying a custom saddle, you're paying $3,000 or something like that. You can buy saddles for, $200 or $300 from Pakistan. They come with a bridle and, stirrup leathers and stirrup irons and everything, and a dead pony probably. And, it would cost you more to repair them once something's broken than it does to buy a new saddle. They're pretty bad. And then there's a sort of medium range that's about $600 to $800 or $900. That's kind of what most people get. And then you can get a nice saddle for under $2,000. And then you can spend a lot of money for name brand saddles, which are not that much better than the ones that are less expensive. They're just the same old thing. They're using their name, and people will just buy it because it costs a lot of money. Oh, sure. And that's the way it goes. You know.
Like a car.
Yeah. Yes, people will spend. The Hermes saddle is $4,600, and then because it's not a wool stuffed saddle that you can adjust the bottom on and mold it to the horse, people have to come to me and have it then fitted to their horse. Mm-hmm. For that much money, I would not only want it to fit the horse properly, but I'd want to get blue ribbons every time I rode, right?
Yes.
It's, but you know, that's the way it is.
Is people, that Hermes the same that, like, yeah, they make the clothing
and all that stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. And now the French make different saddles, right? Don't they have it starts with an R? There's some saddle that's used in Europe that's different than, or not?
Well, there are a lot of different brands. The French aren't any different than, you know, some of the German or Northern European or whatever. So.
And where do you get your materials, your leather?
I was buying my leather from England, and then I found a tannery in Canada who was doing English leather. And then they've moved to Pennsylvania, which makes it even better. So I buy some stuff from that. Hardware and things like that I usually get from England. You know, the furniture, you know, nails and stirrup irons and those kind of buckles, they usually come from England. So.
Mm-hmm. So over the last 20 years, do you think the quality of saddles, not your own, but just that are out there that can be bought, has the quality changed, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's gotten a little better. There's still low end saddles that are, you know, it makes it affordable for someone to ride. You can buy the synthetic saddles for $300 or $400, and they're great. They have a very, very good. They're very functional. They're making them much better. They fit the horses okay, and it's great. You know, if you're not really sure you're going to be a rider for your whole life, then if you want to spend, you know, $400 or $500. You can ride for a year and throw the saddle away. You know.
Right. Otherwise, it would last how long?
The synthetics. Well, in
no, I know your kind of saddle. I bought one from you.
Oh, you can hand it down to your kids. Mm-hmm. You should be able to. Yeah.
What about size? I noticed the horse. Well, I'm actually riding a pony, and the saddle's very petite.
Yeah.
And she doesn't need a pad. This one doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you may need a bigger saddle. Is it feel tight for you?
Not really.
Where are you riding?
I'm riding it as it's called Rising Star in Medway, right near Holliston. It's actually a large.
Rising Star. Is that on 126?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right, yeah. I'll go by that. Yeah. Sure. It used to be called something else.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel very secure in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. Anyway, the saddle. You know the. Saddles are they're much better quality now.
Yeah.
So it's good because people are competing and they want the quality of the name brands that have been around for a long time. So there are some very nicely made saddles out there. And I've probably seen all of them. I've worked on all of them. So.
Now, are there different types of saddles? You mentioned the side saddle, and then what other kinds of English saddles?
Well, the English saddle, there's a dressage. Which, and then there would be an all-purpose saddle which you could use for dressage or jumping, and then it'd be a jumping saddle. The jumping saddle obviously would have the flap more forward because you're going to have your legs short and like that, you know, like a jockey, you know, with your legs up. And that, you know, people who do eventing would ride in a jumping saddle because they're up in the saddle all the time. They're going to have their legs out front or their knees out front to jump and stuff. Basically, those are the three styles. It's dressage and jumping, and then an all-purpose, which would encompass both disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The little I've been in this world of horses, you pick up really quickly that there's an incredible difference between Western and English, not only saddles, but riders.
Mm-hmm.
Can you comment on that at all? I mean, have you nothing to do with the Western world? Or?
Well, the thing with Western saddles is they're not set up so you can adjust the bottom part of the saddle that sits on the horse. It's basically a fairly primitive system where the old pack saddles, you'd have a couple of boards on either side of the horse and a little strap over the top of the horse, and you put your guns and stuff on it. It's basically the same thing. There are two pieces of wood or fiberglass on each side of the horse with an arched horn at the front and an arched thing at the back to sit in. And they don't put anything on the bottom of the flat pieces that go along the body of the horse, so there's no way to adjust it to the horse's shape. So I usually, when I go out and see people with Western horses, I'm usually rearranging their pads so that it's more comfortable for the horse. But it's amazing that people are riding in those things. To be quite honest, I'm always amazed.
Well, it's a totally, I mean, they make the comparison to, you know, sort of slouching back in a big old couch.
Yeah, the armchair thing. Yeah.
But you don't have as much, it doesn't feel like you have as much contact with the animal.
You know, I don't know. Not being a rider, and I've been on, have I been in a Western saddle? I'm sure I've gone pleasure riding. I don't remember. But I would think, you know, you have the same kind of contact because the side of the saddle doesn't go down as far. You don't have these big flaps, so your leg is actually more on the horse. And I've seen some Western people who ride who can do everything with just reining. They're just reining the horse. They're not. They have bitless bridles, the whole thing, and they're just using their legs and hands and their seat. So the skill level is the same. You know, different things that they're doing. But I just, you know, I'm surprised they haven't changed the way the saddle fits to the horse.
That is interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's supposedly more comfortable for the rider because they're in it all day. I mean, it was a working situation.
Well, that's the difference. The Western saddle is a working saddle. The English saddle is a sport saddle. It's for sport and, you know.
Right. Now, back to that shaping, the part that of the saddle that fits the contour of the horse. How do you make that measurement? Do you make a mold? I mean, how do you actually take a measurement of the horse's line?
No,
what do you do?
I look at the saddle and I look at the horse and I make them fit.
You just do it intuitively?
It's a very visceral thing. You look at it and you look at the saddle and see where it's sitting and make sure it's sitting on the horse level. And you can adjust the shapes. And I mean, after you've done it for a while, you know that you need a little more puffiness here or less there, so that it's going to sit properly on the horse. And there are machines out there, you know, electronic pads that you can put on and see where the pressure is and everything. The problem is that you still have to come to me to make it fit, and I don't need any of that stuff.
Do you see the horse?
Yeah, I go to the barn and I look at the saddle on the horse, and I adjust it right there, put this rider up and make sure it's okay, and that's it.
That's great.
It's pretty, it's pretty straightforward.
Do you have to work hard for customers, or do they come to you and you have more than you can handle?
I have a large clientele now that have been sort of cycling around for years, and I see people every couple of years, some people every 6 months because they're more concerned. Some people call me and say, my saddle's not working, and I say, well, and they say, well, you know, you did it recently and it's not working now. And I go, well, when did you see me? So, oh, I think it was 7 years ago. And I'm thinking, okay, that's a little too long to be waiting and then saying the saddle's not working. So, but I have people who are calling me all the time.
Yeah.
And I have an ad that runs continually in the Horseman's Yankee Peddler. So, so new people come through that or it's word of mouth. My first year, I had ads in the Yankee Peddler. I had a whole year's worth of ads. I got 2 phone calls.
Wow.
So after that, I stopped that, and I was knocking on barn doors. And then about 4 or 5 years later, I thought, well, I'll redo my ad. And at that point, people had heard about me. When they saw my ad, I got more calls in the first week after my new ad than I'd had for ages. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So people just knew I was around there but needed to know how to get in touch with me.
So it's word of mouth, probably.
It's definitely word of mouth. If you go to someone and they love the way you've worked on their saddle, they're going to tell their friend that you should have Tony Cooper do your saddle or whatever. So.
And is there anyone else in the state of Massachusetts doing this?
There's another person called, what is he called? He calls himself the English Saddler. And But he's not, he wasn't trained to make saddles. He was trained to do bridles and stuff. And I met him early on. But he does fit saddles and everything. You know, you can learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you do bridles too?
I used to make bridles, but I just don't have enough time to make bridles and do this mm-hmm. and make saddles and, you know. So, and there are lots of people out there who make nice bridles. Mm. It's not worth my trying to do.
More like making a belt, right? Sort of.
It is, but there's a lot of hand stitching involved, and it takes forever. And you can't really charge enough to do hand stitching. The people who make them in England, in Walsall, you know, which is kind of the saddle capital of the world there, they can stitch, you know, 10 stitches to the inch, and they can do an inch in, a, you know, like 5 or 6 seconds, you know.
In leather?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, I mean, they're so quick. They're stitching like this in, out, in, out, in, out. So why should I do that when I'm doing, you know, like, so, I'm not super slow, but it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And these people who do that, that's all they do. They're very good at it, so let them do it.
Fingers, yeah.
Well, you make holes.
Oh, you have to make holes.
You make holes, I mean, and then, you know. So.
I know from just putting a new hole in a belt. It's
like a punch.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to ask?
Tea
quiet.
Break?
Tea break would be great. Oh, that's right. We didn't have to put this on pause. Mm-hmm.
Well, come on downstairs.
Sure. There's
a new development in saddles.
Okay.
Maybe this one, actually. This is a modular saddle. Comes in pieces, and this is what the air feels like.
Oh yeah.
On the horse. So you know when you're moving, when the horse is moving, it moves with the horse. But this one, you can put different styles of flaps on, jumping or dressage or whatever, and you can assemble the saddle. And I can build the saddle at a barn for someone who's looking for one with this system. And this is made by the people who actually do the air bladders. They're making their own saddle now. Very interesting concept. I like it. I think it's great. Yeah. It's
and nice. So inside, wait, show me the tree.
I'll show you. Okay. Get a tree for you. Sitting on the stairs here.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just going to take the headphones out.
Oh, good idea.
Okay. So this is what a tree looks like. See?
Okay.
And it's I'm going to put this over here out of the way. But it's like plywood. You see it's laminated like plywood? And what they do, they just put layer and layer across over the layers and make this thing. So with it being laminated like that, it's very strong. The older ones would be solid wood, would be a rigid tree, and they tend to break. But these are very flexible. So you can, it bends with the horse and the rider. And it doesn't move so much this way, but it's a... Anyway, that's the inside frame of the tree.
And what's that made out of? That's
well, this is wood too, but they've just covered it with a kind of like a cheesecloth, and then it's a brown stain they put on it. So it looks like it's some kind of stuff. But if you look at it, it looks like cheesecloth. Right there.
Yeah.
See?
Right.
And they put that on and they coat it with this brown.
This is like a seatbelt.
Yeah, it's exactly exactly that.
Okay. So the pommel?
This is the pommel
and this is
cantle. This is the waist or the twist. I mean, it's called a waist because it looks like someone's hips, you know, and you call this the waist. And Western saddles have a much wider twist part. So, you know, you kind of have to sit back and have your legs. That's why cowboys walk like this, because they're sitting on the saddle that spreads their pelvic bones, you know, that kind of turns their hips out. Whereas this, and with English saddles, you can have a narrow twist or a wider twist, depending on how the person's built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people prefer the narrow twist. Yeah. But even big women who I thought would be wider actually have it. The way the pelvis is set is narrow. So, you know, it just depends. But you do have a choice with English saddles.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, people ask me if I make trees. It's like, God, you know.
No. So you purchase the tree.
I buy the trees from England, and I usually, sometimes I buy a naked tree. It doesn't have the webbing on, and I'll do the webbing. Sometimes I buy them already dressed. They call it, they dress it up for me. They put them. When I made a saddle for Sturbridge Village, and they actually made a tree for me. Because they do, you know, it was an 1830 saddle, so they had their woodworking shop make a saddle. And I brought them a wooden tree that I had around, and they made a copy of that. But that was an interesting project, because they sent me to the Smithsonian to copy a saddle that was in the Smithsonian.
Oh, okay.
So I spent
Is it still there at Sturbridge Village?
Yeah, I'm not sure they use it. I think they kind of have it tucked away somewhere. But yeah, it should be still there. And it was interesting when I was down there in the Smithsonian. I did some work for them. I restored some of their bicycle leathers and things like
that.
And it's kind of funny.
That is neat. Okay. So that's the tree. Then what?
Okay. Let me show you. Do you want to put that there?
Wow.
This they made a mess of that.
Oh, yeah. Is that for the air?
Yeah, this is for the air. And see, I'm going to redo this. And what I usually do is I put these around in here so that they're neatly coiled and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll fix that. It's good. He's got Velcro on there. But I was going to...
Saddle pads?
Excuse me?
Are these the pads, saddle pads?
This part of the saddle, this is called the panel. The bottom part of the saddle is called the panel. This is a sweat flap. And this, it's called a sweat flap because it goes closest to the horse and takes all the sweat of the horse. And then there's another flap on top of this, the main flap that your leg goes against. So this prevents the sweat from coming through onto the flap that you're using and getting wet and all the rest of that. So they call that, that's why it's called a sweat flap. It takes away some of the moisture. And I actually was working on the tree on this one. I was going to adjust it and lace it back together.
Mm-hmm.
This is made by a guy in is he from Toronto, I think. A German guy that makes saddles up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And these little cushy things in the back?
Well, this is the panel. And the old-fashioned ones didn't... This thing is a gusset. It's like, you know, you have gussets in skirts and pants and stuff like that. It makes them wider. And that's what this does. It makes the panel more full. The older ones were just one piece of leather. They tend to be very tight, and you can't. There's not enough room in them to make the shape fit horses. You want these as wide and big as possible, because then it allows you more adjustment when you're fitting it to the horse. If you've got a horse that's, you know, high at the front, low at the back, this needs to be really big so you can put it up. So when I'm looking at a saddle, I would say that this is. Could be bigger. Mm-hmm. I would make this like this, bigger out here, so that you just have more adjustment.
Right.
What else can I show you?
Well, do you have one that you've made?
I have a saddle here that I made. I'll just put this here. I'm just poking around in it. This is actually a saddle that I have made, and I was going to change the flaps on this. See, this part of the saddle is fairly straightforward to do, to make these and put the seat on. You have to do everything inside out to get it on here. And I made some simple panels for this one, rather than this style here, which is sweat flap and everything all together.
All attached,
I made them separate. So this little baby... This goes, got that right that way, yeah. This goes up in here like this.
That's a sweat flap?
That's a sweat flap, like that. And then the panel goes like this. I actually put the air bladder system in this because I thought someone would like it. It's together like that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's what this saddle looks like when it's together.
Nice.
So. Yeah. And this is, you know, I molded this one to match the sweat flap.
Mm-hmm.
So. But this need, I need to, I'm guess you're going to put a different flap on here. I want to put one that has a knee pad, a foam knee pad that's softer.
Oh, for the knee.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know,
okay,
this is what a saddle looks like when it's going together.
When did you first make that?
This one is probably 4 or 5 years old. Now, when I did my first saddle at Cordwainer's, we had to hand stitch everything, and we were doing 12 to the inch, 12 stitches to the inch. In fact, I've got a little piece here.
It's like quilting.
It's very fine work.
Okay.
Here's a little thing I made.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
So here's something that I did that has less stitches to the inch.
This right here would have.
This has got. I think this is 9 or 10 to the inch, but that's all hand stitched.
Yeah, let me just get a picture of that. Now wait a second. Let me just see something.
So I kept this. This is one of my pieces I made when I was in training.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's take. Where would
it? I got stands by itself.
Stands by itself. But then I should have your thumb in there for reference.
Oh.
Hold on. Wait. Let's see. This is good. I'm so happy. Yeah. Wow. And those are all pre. What are you punching the holes with?
Well, there's a thing called a pricking iron. See, these are little things that are at 45 degrees. I don't have my pricking irons here. I think they're in my other workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But you make the imprint with the pricking iron, and then you make the hole with an awl. You just prick the pattern, and then, you know, and there's one that, you know, the pricking iron is this long.
Wow.
So you do an inch or an inch and a half, and just got a little crooked there.
Okay. Well, that was your first one.
It got better. The trick to hand stitching is to make the back exactly the same as the front. I mean, that's a pretty thick piece of leather. So
yeah, it's very
but
thick.
Those are nice.
And this is a halter?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's, let's say, when I was doing bridles, I did this stuff.
Okay. It's nice leather. Oh, that's beautiful.
On there. It says cob size hand stitch.
Hand stitch. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So thick. It looks like a lot of work.
It
must take a lot of strength, yeah?
That's, yeah, well, you've got a sharp awl. It's like everything. If you've got the right tool and it's sharp, it works fine. You know, when you're struggling, it means the tools aren't sharp enough.
Yeah.
I should probably show you. Take down a side saddle so you can.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Get this junk out of the way. I'll get this organized one day. By the time I'm dead, everything will be nice and neat.
And is the Guild of Master Craftsmen in this country or
no,
England?
No, that's in England. And I'm a member of the Guild of Master Craftsmen. It's a juried position, or it was. I think you can just pay the money and belong to them now, but I was juried to get into the Guild of Master Craftsmen. There's also Guild of Master Saddlers, which I didn't want to join because you can just pay to get into that.
Mm.
And I, you know, what's the point?
Right.
And usually it's mostly merchants who have it on the door, you know, member of the Guild of Master Saddlers.
So it doesn't mean anything. Really.
Doesn't really mean that much. It used to.
Tell me the name of that wooden tool right there, that for pounding.
Actually, I bought that in Mexico. It's just a little mallet.
Mallet, okay.
And it's a pretty hard wood, but
mm-hmm.
So it's just for. This is when I have customers that, you know, are not being kind to me.
We have a baseball bat in our office when we get particularly bad phone calls.
Yeah, let's have a look.
All right.
This is actually one that I restored, so.
Was it originally made here?
This one I think is American.
Ah.
It's think it's.
I've never seen one of these up close.
So here's what they look like. Yeah, and I wish I. Let's see if I can find the bottom.
Wow,
I'll show you
hard.
What I did
All right.
to make that one work. See, they usually come to me like this. This is what people come to me and they say, oh, I just bought myself a side saddle. Can you fix it? And they come in like this.
Yeah.
And then I change it from this to this. So if you want a shot of both of those.
Yeah, I'm going to get up
here. Yeah, I can.
Okay. All right.
That's the before.
That's the before. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is that stuff with? It looks really
yucky. Wool.
It's wool.
It's wool.
All right. And this is the after.
This is the after. So.
Okay.
Much better, huh?
Yeah. Nice and clean. Now, is that what goes on the...
This goes right on the
right
horse.
Right on the horse.
And in... Traditionally in England, and specifically with side saddle, they don't use pads. So when I'm adjusting these, it's an interesting thing with these is that normally with a regular saddle, there are little stuffing holes underneath here, and you put a tool in here, and you go inside and put the wool in. With this, you use an awl. There's one lying around. Okay.
Is that it? Well, it looks awfully big for an awl, but...
Should be one of my... That's what happens when I slid my stuff out.
This isn't an awl? It's curved.
Yeah, it's bent. But
it's bent.
It's a bent one, but I'll... What you do with... I should have one of my pointy ones here somewhere. Okay, Tony?
It's the one tool I know what it looks like out of all of these tools.
Well, it's an interesting... What I'm going to do is... Isn't that weird? They should be lying around somewhere. Okay. Not a problem. But the way you do this one is you have would have an awl that's finer than this. It actually goes in through the eye. I better find something bad. I don't want to make a big hole in it. But you do it by poking the wool around.
This big in there.
Shifting it around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called regulating. And in fact, I've got a big needle here. This will do. Oh, it's a good job. I don't need one of those right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Might be in my van. Okay, it takes tools out there. But you can do it with a big needle like this.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do, you regulate by doing this. So. And I can make this shape any shape I want. And with side saddles, this side of the saddle has to be bigger than this side because you're sitting on this side, so you have to be able to have a little more support so that when you sit on it, you don't fall off the horse. So it's an interesting thing. You have to make this full so that the front of the horse holds it over that way at the front, and at the back you want the other side up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you kind of do these opposite corners on the side saddle to make it work. But you would just regulate this, and... usually I would cut a slot in here and put more wool in, stitch it up, and then regulate it, and then you cover this with linen. And you wet the linen and iron it on. I think I've got some linen somewhere.
So the final coat is linen?
Yeah.
Surface?
Here's one that I took off the saddle.
Okay.
I think I've got one. So this is one that I took off. And this would have been like this. And with the linen, this is kind of dirty. You don't want to take a picture of that.
No,
but what happens when you sew this down, you wet this with really hot water, boiling water, and then you iron it. As it's drying, you iron it with an agate stone, and it comes out. It's like super smooth. It's absolutely like glass. So, and that's why this is very shiny.
Yeah, I was wondering why.
Plus years of being rubbed on the horse's body.
Sure, oil cloth or something.
Yeah, but that's, you know. That's what linen looks like.
Well, wouldn't side saddle be hard on the horse's back? Because it's not evenly just the weight or not?
Well, the thing is that you make this fit the horse's shape. So when the rider's sitting here, the weight is distributed properly, you know. And they get used to, I imagine, you know, when it's girthed up, the weight is pressing down all over. But what you're mostly interested in is having the rider sit straight, because if the rider's not sitting, you know, upright like that, or is tilted sideways or backwards or like this, you end up with a terrible back, you know, just really crippling. So if the rider's sitting upright, then the weight is going to be coming directly down on the horse, and that's with these bigger panels. You see how big these are compared to that other one over there. They distribute the weight much better. And plus they're quilted in here, which is another support for the horse. So.
And these things are called again? What are these called?
Well, these guys, these are billets or girth pulls, they would call them in England.
Well, that's what they do. They pull the girth.
They pull it. It's exactly
it's
right.
It's easier to remember that.
Yeah. But this is a nice little one. This is actually a small side saddle.
Really?
And this would be for a small woman.
All right, so one leg, a young girl. Where's your leg go?
You want to see how it goes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn this around. You can take a picture of me on my side.
There we go. That's a good idea.
Get this. Someone wants me to fix their...
I was going
to
say, is that your jacket?
Someone's chaps for their bike.
Yeah.
So I can get on here without killing myself.
All right, let's see.
So, and the way you get on the side saddle is someone lifts you like this, and you sit like this.
Oh, wow.
And you put your foot in the stirrup. This is a bit short for me, but that's the way. So you sit like that.
Yeah.
There we go. So that's the way you sit on the side saddle.
That's great. We should make you get up there.
Yeah, you look good on that.
It looks very comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Go
because
for it.
Let me take a picture of you.
Yeah, no, but I have to get up this way.
Oh, well, you can really get up any way you want, but that traditionally they would hump you up sideways and.
Okay, so I have to go like this.
You put this in here.
This is in the stirrup, wearing clogs. Mm-hmm. Not. Oh, it's very comfortable. Now, would you face this way or would you face sideways?
You know, face straight forward.
This way, so you have to twist.
Well, kind of, and if you sit a little, this should be a little bit like that.
Oh, okay. It's very secure.
And then if you turn your hips so that they're straighter, and you may have to adjust this.
You mean straight this way?
Yeah, you should be able to get your hips around like that.
Like that, okay.
I think, yeah.
So the horse's head is here.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
there
great.
Go. See,
it feels good. I see why it's secure now.
Yeah.
I would not have known it and I got up here.
And people like this because if there's an accident, you can jump off.
Oh, you just
jump
off
the side rather than being thrown over the front and have the horse jump on you.
Well, I didn't understand these things. It makes a lot of sense because what are these called?
These are horns. This is a fixed head. But it's a head, not a horn. I'm thinking Western. It's a fixed head. This is the...
Because you can grip.
Leaping head. Yeah.
Fixed head, leaping head. Well, that makes total sense.
And then
very
some
nice.
Saddles would have another hole to put on for jumping. You'd want this in a different position for jumping.
God. So you could actually go to see a show of somebody riding side saddle?
Yeah, they are around. There's a New England Side Association. There's an International Side Saddle Association that's an American thing. So there are people who ride them. And you know what they do nowadays is people will buy old American side saddles and they'll dress up. They'll wear costumes and stuff and do shows with costumes.
Right. Right.
But then the more serious people are riding in
they're
this riding. Style,
uh-huh.
and they're hunting and doing dressage and jumping and whatever, you know.
That's great. Well, okay. Can you just show us a few tools and then we'll leave you alone? Like,
tools.
Get your work done, yeah.
Sure. Okay. Let's do this here. Let me show you my knife.
Okay.
This is This is a strop that I've made, and what you do with this, it's kind of a suede leather, and you put tallow on it, and then you put carborundum powder on it.
Say those two things again.
Tallow, which is the renderings from cows and pigs and stuff, right? So
right.
It's kind of a waxy thing. So you put that on the leather, then you put carborundum powder, which are metal filings that would have in a file. So this actually is a file, really.
Yeah.
But with a paste, you can actually, make a really nice edge like that. And if you need to redo it, because I just made a fresh one in Royalston, and it's amazing the difference compared to this one, which is kind of all worn out. But what it does, it sharpens the edge. And then if you get a little burr there from doing that, you just... It's just like, you know, when you go to the barber shop, all the barbers used to do this. Might be before your time.
It's really sharp, yeah.
You can tell it's a nice piece of metal.
Oh, yeah. And what's that tool called?
It's called a head knife, a round knife. So, you can...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just cuts like that.
Beautifully. And where is this made? Let me just see.
That's an American one. It's made
Albany.
By Gomp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it nice? These are nice knives.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the knives you get now, it's hard to get good quality. So the thing with this, when these are really sharp, I mean, I can cut a beautiful curve with this when it's really sharp. It needs a little going over.
Mm-hmm.
But that's... Oh, and let's see what we've got for...
What's that?
Okay, we'll just trim that off.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making a strap... That's actually, let me just cut a strap.
Sure.
If you want to make the edges nicer, you take a little thing like this. It's called a beveler. Oh, it's not coming. Oh, I got the wrong side. Scratch that one. It makes the edge rounder.
Like, yeah.
And then,
edge, yeah.
And then you would take. Get some, let's see. I need some liquid.
Oh, to dye it?
Yeah. Looking. Maybe there's a container under there. No, it's around the corner. Well, you want me to be doing that?
Sure.
And I can show you how to burnish the edges.
Okay, oh, burnish, that's the right word.
I'm going to stain them and then burnish them.
Stain them and burnish. Burnish is like polish?
Yeah.
How many minutes? I'm just kidding.
53.
Okay.
Here we go. This will do.
Okay. There must be a whole vocabulary that one has to learn.
Yeah. Somewhat, but, yeah. So this is the easy part.
Yeah.
Like this. So. So, and then, let's see if I can find something good. Here we go. A little piece of linen. Every saddlery shop has these greasy looking pieces of cloth lying around.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So, and you would work on that. I would probably put a little more liquid on there. And then the grains will set down, and then you can. Okay. You should be able to get this looking like glass. I mean, that's ideally what you want, is to have this super smooth. I mean, it needs a little more rubbing, but it's not bad.
Mm. Nice. Oh yeah, feels good.
Much better, huh?
Yes.
And sometimes you can just use paper. Mm-hmm. Paper works really nice as a burnishing. Yeah.
Oh, look at the shine on that.
See, much better.
Yeah.
So that when in England, when we were doing this, we made our dye with powder and hot water and animal glue. And you do it in a double boiler and you put it on and it hardens and then you can burnish it. And the glue binds the fibers together so you get a really nice finish. I just use a regular dye here. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's not bad for just poking around for a minute. See the halter there? Take that
this
off
halter,
there. Let me show you that.
Okay.
This piece here
The rounded
is
piece?
Rounded. See? And what you do, see there's no stitching showing?
Mm-hmm.
You can see the stitching at the end. But what you do, there's actually a piece of... did I put a filler in? Yeah, there's a piece of round plastic inside there, or a piece of string. You fold it over and you stitch the edge, and then you hammer the edge down and then burnish the edge so that it covers the stitching and you have this round thing. Right. So I've made bridles like this. They take a long time.
Oh, I would imagine. So what's the name for this kind of work?
It's rounding. It's just the rounding. So, but that's nice.
That's beautiful, yeah.
It's nice the stitches got covered up. Yeah. That wasn't bad for my first attempt.
It's pretty good, yeah.
You can see it's been around for a while. I got a little bit of green gook there.
Mm-hmm. Was it ever used?
No, I kept all my stuff that I made to have, you know, and my other workshop has a bunch of stuff that I made when I was studying. So I've kept them, and I kept my first saddle and everything.
That's sort of neat.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll always have them. That was my first attempt. Mm-hmm. But not bad, actually. It came out pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
So...
Okay, and the cording, what's all that waxed cord or thread?
Well, some of it's waxed thread, some of it's just linen. This is a braided thread for lacing in the back of the panel. It's very, everyone used to use hemp, linen hemp, and you would make your own threads. I don't have any handmade threads here, but I have linen hemp at my other shop. Mm. And you just get a whole bunch of cords and you wind them together and wax them and make a thread. And they tend to, eventually water will get into them and they rot. So I use a waxed polyester or nylon now. And it's braided. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you can't break this stuff.
Hmm. And are there names for different colored leathers? Like this nice warm...
That's probably military brown. Okay. Yeah, there's... Here's... couple of here. Well, this is black, obviously. This would be Havana. The yellow color that you see is London color. Mm-hmm. And then there would be chestnut. Like this is chestnut. I made this out of chestnut, the saddle that I made.
Oh, so that's darker than military brown.
It's got a reddy color to it. See? See, it has a reddy brown. It's not dark brown, but it's got a little redness in it. Okay. In fact, that might be...
Which is the same as the...
Well, actually, this is Havana, but I thought I'd made a chestnut. But the chestnut has a red-brown color. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of different colors.
And you see the grain a lot in this panel.
It's embossed.
Mm. Oh.
It's embossed. Yeah, they run this through. It's supposed to be like a pig skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's embossed. They just run it through, press it on a big plate.
Hmm.
See, this is more, this doesn't have, this is regular grain on it. You can see actually the crinkles in the skin. But yeah, a lot of leather has been embossed, so you think it's pigskin or whatever. And they used to do that because it's very expensive to get big pieces of pigskin like this. So they would just emboss it.
I get it. As opposed to cow skin?
Lots of cow skin.
Yeah.
Cow skin is easy to get hold of.
That's interesting. I would not have known that.
Yeah. So, actually, that's fairly safe there.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe we can finish this up and then answer any questions you have about the grant things. Unless there's something we haven't thought to ask you, you want to add? Okay.
I found it at a yard sale.
That's great.
But it's
huge. Yeah. What was I going to say? You've been doing this how long? How many years?
Over 20 years. So, and then I had a leather goods business for 15, something like that. So
that's a long time. Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. This is a release form that basically says it's okay that we recorded you and
okay.
We'll put your stuff in an archive.